seance was recorded on the 10th of July, 1974, medium Leslie Flint.
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Long time since you came.
Yes.
I suppose it's very difficult for you to get away.
Well, yes, and it's very difficult for Leslie to fit me in because he's so busy.
You're surrounded by people today.
Douglas
has got quite a conglomeration here.
Has he?
A conglomeration, a way to refer to people.
Oh, is the tape on now, Leslie?
Yes, oh, good. Good.
Oh. I think he's been very close to you.
Yes.
Are you happy now, settled?
Yes, more or less.
Crowds of people here.
Oh dear, they've all come to see you, Mickey. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, there's the familiar voice. Hello, darling. Ira, that's right.
Ira, can you hear?
I can, very well.
Good, honey. I'm not quite sure if you can hear me, you see.
Yes.
At times it's extremely difficult to register, to know exactly if one is getting over or not. You can hear all right.
Very well, thank you.
Good. Well, at last. It's been such a long time since last you came. I suppose it's getting more and more difficult. I've missed talking to you.
Yes, I've missed hearing you, of course.
What should we talk about?
Well, I wondered if you have any special theme you want to follow, have you, for your third book?
My third book? What about the second? Are you...
Well, the second was published. It's the first one that hasn't yet gone through.
No one interested in the first book.
Well, they say very nice things about it, but times are difficult, dear, for publishing. Still, I think it. You said it would go through, and when you say
I think possibly it may be a combination of the first and the third. Could be.
Yes, I see. Yes.
But how about the present book? Is that doing all right?
I imagine it's doing all right, dear. And you've got a very large fan mail. People who write to thank you and ask me to write to thank you for all you've said.
Good. As long as people are being helped and
that
in
is
some
it.
Way uplifted.
They are indeed.
After all said and done, there are so many books evidently written on the psychic or spiritualistic theme that I suppose to get a book out in itself these days must be quite something.
Yes.
But I suppose, of course, people read a number of books and perhaps after a time they feel saturated. I think there's room for a book which will be more informative than most about life after death. I think some of these books, evidently, I remember way back when, I can't remember how long ago, it must be many years, I read a few, you know.
Yes, I remember you did.
But I wasn't terribly impressed.
Yes.
You see, the whole point is that I think we have to come down to the basic fact that when it comes to trying to transmit from this side aspects of life which are familiar to us and unfamiliar to you, we have to somehow bring it down to a material level for it to be grasped or understood at all. In other words, we have to bring it down in a picturized sense, I suppose is the expression, as in a material sense, so that you have some outline or some aspect of what we're trying to convey, but there are many aspects of our life which, quite frankly, I cannot, for the life of me, conceive can be transmitted any other way or in any way in which you could even hope to understand. You see, our life is so far, in some senses, so far removed from the material life that there's no way in which we can really depict it.
Yeah, I do understand that. Still, you do get through quite a lot. Yes. Well, if you haven't got a special subject, dear...
I think it's probably best if you were to ask me questions which... in the reply, that is, if I can, bring it back to a material level of consciousness and understanding, questions which possibly a lot of people might ask, you know.
Yes. Well, I was thinking of these out-of-the-body experiences we have. I have some very exciting times while my body is fast asleep, and I wondered if we could talk on that aspect and how it's achieved.
Well, this is not a difficult question to answer. Of course, I think quite a lot of people do have these out-of-the-body experiences, but a lot of people, of course, do not. A lot depends on the individual. When a person, to some extent, such as you yourself, have progressed along the path of realization, in other words, you have studied the subject, you have been in contact with me on and off, you have opened up your consciousness, I suppose is the way to put it, to the reality of these things, and therefore because of your meditation and because of your awareness of an outside force, and also the realization that you have that life is continuous, and realizing as you do that the spirit of the individual is only temporarily housed in the casket of flesh, realizing as you do these facts, then of course you are by your very nature and inclination and experience and knowledge to a great extent freeing, I suppose is the word, yourself from the mundane and the material, not only during your waking hours, but much more so, obviously, during your so-called sleeping or material sleeping hours. You see, once you can become fully conscious and aware that you yourself, the reality, the you, that which you have become over perhaps even centuries of earthly time, experienced as an individual, as a personality, as a spiritual being, you've assimilated so much that this, by its very nature, is much more easily during the sleep state able to leave the material body, to separate itself temporarily and travel into the astral realms. These are the realms of spiritual realization, not so very far removed from the earth. I wouldn't like you to think by this remark of astral that they're necessarily undeveloped states of being. What one has to realize is that there are many, many, many states of being, many conditions of life to which a person may aspire and enter into. And, of course, if you're still caught up, as indeed one must be while yet in the material flesh, caught up with material things, problems, and what have you, during your daily routine of life, to some extent this is an inhibiting aspect. But, you see, you have been able, perhaps not fully understanding or fully realizing, that you have been able to release your real self to a great extent from these material aspects of life, and in your sleep state, or that is when your body is resting, you, the real you, is able to temporarily remove itself from the memory, if you like, or the mental linking or contact with physical and the brain, you're able to enter into thought realization of new experience on what are generally termed the astral planes. Now these planes, which are interwoven, if you like, at least certain planes are interwoven with material life, inhabited as they often are by individuals who are perhaps only recently released from the physical body by death. These are people who are still, as it were, mentally clinging in part, if not completely so, but certainly in part, to old remembrances of things gone by in the material sense. They visit from the astral oft times their old habitat, and they visit their friends and their relations, and they're in a state, if you like, of limbo. I don't know if that's a good word to use. Now, I'm referring here to the state of mental state, if you like, of being, which is so very much interwoven with the material. Now, when you leave the material, you enter into a state of being, which is a reality of life, of individuals who have not perhaps completely given up the material aspect of thought, and therefore in that world in which they exist, to some extent they create by their thought forces and because of their outlooks certain aspects of life which in a kind of strange way are not exactly material replicas, but they are to an extent, if you like, in some instances anyway, a confused state of being, which is a combination of a new thought or way of life brought into being by their actions and by their forces of thought forces, but they're also interwoven with the old ideas and the old things which they haven't yet completely shaken off. Now, I don't want you to assume by what I'm saying that you necessarily stay all the time when you leave the physical body on that particular plane or on those particular planes of which I speak.
Hope not.
No, but I want to convey this to you so that you get the realization that all conditions of life, whether they are highly evolved conditions of life or whether they're conditions of life very near the earth, very much interwoven, as you might say, with the earth, that they are separate places. They are all merging. This is something that a lot of people obviously do not understand. You see, what one has to bear in mind, that all individual progression is a condition which, by its very nature, is a slow process. So, you see, a person does not suddenly become aware of the higher realms of spiritual achievement or attainment, does not suddenly become fully conscious of the many aspects of life far removed from earth. Neither do they, by their very nature, become, as the world perhaps would like to term it, perfected. You see, we are a mixture, all of us, of so many experiences, so many thoughts, ideas. We have taken on to ourselves all sorts and all manner of ideas and sometimes conditions of life which are in, by their very nature, all linked and interwoven. You see, I can, for instance, I can, in my own environment to which you sometimes come, I can go through all the different phases of existence. I can sort of reach out and enter temporarily into various conditions of life and become temporarily, if you like, a part of that particular condition. And I can assume, now this may strike you as odd, but I can assume to some extent an outer appearance, which is only a temporary covering. Now you, for instance, in the material, you have your physical body, and people recognize you as yourself by the physical aspect that you put up. And as you get older, so the body begins to age and begins to decline, and yet you yourself, as the individual, the spiritual being that is gradually evolving, eventually, of course, will break the bonds and the body will cease to exist as such. But the point is that I and others like me on this side who've evolved and gone through various stages of existence, though our spiritual body on the higher realm of which we have become a part and which we have migrated, if you like, we can, as we enter into other spheres, nearer particularly to the earth, take on temporarily aspects of the old selves. You see, people always assume that we are just one individual person, which in a sense is correct, but what makes a person an individual recognizable by others is the conglomeration, if you like, of all sorts of theories, ideas, conditions and experiences that we've gone through in past events, lives, not necessarily material ones either. I'm talking here about spiritual lives also. I'm talking about astral experiences. You see, when you can get into one's head that one is a conglomeration of all manner and kind of thoughts, ideas, theories, experiences, knowledge, some of which gradually as you evolve you discard as no longer being any real value to you. One of the first things I had to learn when I passed from your world to this was certain ideas and theories and cliches, I suppose, and all sorts of things that I'd attached on subconsciously or unconsciously or even consciously. You have to divest yourself before you can hope to progress of all sorts and manner of strong thoughts and ideas which have no weight, no purpose, no meaning, no validity over here. You see, what I'm trying to put into a nutshell, I'm doing it probably very badly, is the fact that when you enter the realms of the spirit, when your body rests, your material body rests, and you yourself temporarily housed in the astral body or the psychic body, or if you like, you can call it the spiritual body, although these individual terms are in a sense one and the same, you are entering into a state of being temporarily of awareness of certain conditions of life, and you're partaking of them. Sometimes, under certain conditions, you are able to come direct to me in my own sphere. But there are times, which would take a lot of explanation to make it clearer to you, but times when I enter into the astral.
Yes. Do you know, dear, I often come back on horseback.
Well,
do you bring me?
This is understandable.
I can see myself.
You see, what you do not realize is, and I don't suppose anyone rarely who, even those who have quite a lot of experience and knowledge of these things, can realize, is that we are no more or less than we think. And as we think, so we are. This applies to any condition of life in which you may find yourself, whether it's in the material life, as you understand it on the earth, or whether it is in the astral conditions of life, which reflect to some extent material thoughts and actions, or whether it is in the more, what some people call, rarefied states of being. And also you must remember that you can enter into all manner and kinds of conditions, and you will be affected temporarily by those vibrations, by those conditions, by those thoughts. And, of course, we must also bear in mind, as I've said before, we're a conglomeration of all manner and kinds of experience which may go over many, many generations of earthly time. When we accept the theory, and it's more than a theory, it's a fact, that some of us, I don't say all, have lived on the earth before. We've had lives which have been as real and as natural to us as last material existence of which, in your case, you are still living as a reality, we can also take on, temporarily, or enter into past remembrance of places and peoples and things, and we can reenact, if we so wish, temporarily, because that which has been is still there, nothing is lost. You see, there are records, I don't know how to explain this one, but there are records which one can tune into in a mental way, and you can remember past events and take on to yourself remembrances of these things, and you can enter into them if you so wish, or you can picturize them and be fully conscious and aware of them. And it's more than possible, and I think this is true to say, that a lot of people who do have experiences are only tapping what I suppose you might call the records which are in the atmosphere of life appertaining to self, and they can re-enter temporarily these remembrances and enter in such a way they can reconstruct. You see, nothing is lost. And the point is that you and I have had many existences, and I'm quite sure that, although you may not fully recapture or remember, that you and I lived on Earth not only once but many times, but on one occasion we lived at the time of the Crusades. And in those days of which I speak, you and I were very closely knit, drawn together, and I was a man of some substance and position, and I rode, as others did at that time, to the Holy Land. Of course, in some senses now, on reflection, I can see that we were very misguided.
Yes,
but
rather.
But the point is that, nevertheless, one has to accept the point that at that particular time, with the knowledge or the lack of it that we had, that we were, to a great extent, in most cases, very sincere. You see, the point is that you also, perhaps, have recaptured memories. Sometimes I'm able to infiltrate into your consciousness certain things that have happened centuries ago. You have these picturizations, and when you come over here, it is possible, and it has happened, that I am, by my ability to project to you remembrances and experiences of things, not only in the past, but sometimes are things that are yet to come in what you would term the future. You see, when man can assimilate the realization that time is non-existent, time is a great illusion, and that which is past is still there, and that which it is to come is there too. But one has not reached that point in time, if you can use the expression of time. Now, this doesn't only apply to the material. I mean, one has this theory that has been put forward about time, and there's many books been written about it in a material sense, but time is an illusion in as much that you cannot really define it. You cannot say this is the beginning and this is the end. There is no beginning, there is no end. It is only that we become conscious of certain aspects of self and life and experience at a certain given point. It doesn't mean to say before you were born that you were not, and it certainly doesn't mean to say that when you're dead you're no longer so, because you are. You are as you are, and nothing will alter this in a sense. You will become more and more enlightened, more and more spiritually conscious, spiritually aware, more and more progressed, more and more able to achieve and to do things which at one point in time you'd never thought was possible at all.
Well, darling, when all these bodies or moods meet, do we have peace then?
One might say, what is peace? You see, this is a word. People like to think that peace is a state of being in an odd, strange kind of way. It could be so considered. There are moments when one might say one is at peace, when one is tranquil, but usually that is a point of time or an experience in time when nothing of any consequence whatsoever is happening. Mm-hmm. You're not achieving anything, you're not doing anything, you're not reaching up to anything. You know, a lot of expressions are made which have no reality in fact. And I'm trying to talk about factual things. What is peace? One man's idea of peace may not be another's, of course, but the point is that peace is a much misused word. People talk about peace of mind. What is peace of mind? Some people would say it is when everything is so quiescent, so everything is so as you would wish it to be. There is nothing to irritate or annoy, nothing to struggle or strive for. You're quite content almost to be non-existent. This seems to me an explanation of what is peace. Of course, I'm not referring to the meaning that some people have. I mean, when one talks about troubles in the world, I mean, one talks about war and peace. When people are at war, when they're fighting, whether it is by words or whether it is by arms, where there is destruction and unhappiness and all these things, where there is no peace, this is something, of course, obviously quite different. This is something that we wish to eradicate from men. We wish men to understand that within themselves there is the possibility of a change whereby they can live together in harmony. But that doesn't necessarily mean to say that is necessarily going to be peace. Peace, to some extent, seems to me to be some sort of an illusion. We must never cease, in a sense, to desire for something further, something better, with a greater realization of the meaning and the purpose and the being.
Yes, well, I was thinking of nirvana. Don't we ever reach a state of nirvana?
Well, yes, we've seen that. I don't know. I really honestly don't know how to explain this, but the point is that there are millions of people, for instance, on certain spheres of existence who dwell together in perfect harmony, in love and understanding. They're perfectly content. And therefore you would say that they dwell in peace. I'm not going to argue against that. Of course they do dwell in peace. But the point is that they have only reached a certain aspect or point in time of evolution and development. And you see, there comes a time, no matter where or when the individual or the spirit, if you like, begins to seek a little further, begins to wonder if there is not something even more that they can reach out to. You see, once a person or a group of persons are contented in the fullest sense of the meaning of the term, then they become stagnant. Although I don't know if this really makes sense, or if you can understand this, but life means, by its very nature, life must mean change. It must mean movement. It must mean action. Life can never be completely still. Life, by its very nature, the very animating force behind all life, is movement, is change. It's something which is vital behind all life. All life is this sort of animation, as it were, perhaps. Animation. And when you have animation, then you are constantly, without perhaps fully understanding it, at times anyway, you're reaching out, you're striving, you're struggling, you're trying to burst the bonds, whatever they may be. You may say, all right, people are in a great state of happiness. Of course they are, and they will remain in that state until such time as they feel the urge or the need or the desire to expand or go a little further on the road of progression. Because all life must be progression, it must be change. Maybe very slow, maybe very subtle. It may take eons of time, as you understand time. So when we talk about eternity, a word which frankly makes one's mind boggle, nobody understands eternity. And I suppose if one tried to sit down and concern oneself with the idea of eternity, one would just not comprehend, and one would probably end up feeling very much frightened and unhappy about it. Because, I mean, in the old days, I mean, one used to read this idea that the good would be gathered up and would be with God, the archangels, etc., for all eternity. I mean, this is something which, quite frankly, one cannot understand. And I know that, in a sense, this is not so. In other words, eternal life, constantly going on and on and on and on, must obviously, by its very nature, mean constant revision, constant change, fluctuation, movement, going in this or that direction or whatever it may be. You see, we cannot be stationary, we cannot be static. Otherwise, we couldn't exist. This is something which I think, even though I'm trying desperately to explain it to you, I know I can't succeed very well, but I do know this, that if one were to live in any form of existence or any state of being, where for aeons and aeons and aeons of time, you're just going to be identically the same, living the same routine, as you would say, if I can put it in the material sense, day by day, the same old routine, going to bed, waking up, going to bed, waking up, no matter how much you might feel happiness in that state, there would come a moment or time when it would begin to revolt you. You'd feel that you weren't as happy as you were. I'm not saying it's quite like that here, but I'm trying to bring it down to material level. People talk on even people say, oh, I don't like the idea of death, and they don't want to die, they want to stay, though they don't quite perhaps put it this way, they want to stay indefinitely on earth. But who would want to? Can you imagine what it would be like, for instance, to live 1,000 years on a material plane such as yours, yeah, and all the changes? The point is that you have to change. You cannot be stationary, you must change. This business of being reborn on earth, entering into a new physical body, which is only the, after all, it's only the casket for the expression of the individual soul. The point is that this is what makes life a reality, this is what makes life an understandable thing in itself, because you are constantly experiencing new things and change, meeting other people, sometimes people you've met in a previous incarnation, and people that you have not met before, who also become important in your life. And when people can see with a clarity of vision that the physical bodies, or the astral bodies, if you like, are merely shells, they're merely outer coverings, they're merely mechanisms, if you like, of the expression of, for the expression of the spirit and the manifestation of the spirit, and that the more advanced we become, the less important, in a sense, are these bodies. They are merely tools by which you are able to bring yourself to some extent in touch with others of like mind, of like condition. I mean, I come down to you. I manifest to a great extent as far as I can, realizing the problem and difficulty, of course, as I was, to a great extent, materially.
You always seem to bring the cats, dear. I've got one black cat that seems to be with me permanently.
I do this from time to time. You see, I don't want you to go away and feel, because of what I said, that we are not living in a world which is as real to us as yours is to you, and that we have not got a body which is as real to us as your body is, of course. We do live in a real world. We do have bodies which are solid in the condition under which we live. But the whole point is that you must grasp gradually, and it's not possible, not easy, possibly, at this point in time for you, to grasp the fact that we are spiritual beings utilizing particular bodies, if you like, which temporarily suit the purpose of the life in which we find ourselves at this point, if you like, if I can use the word again, time, which I always find a difficult word to use because it's a confusing expression when we refer to time here, because we're not subject to time as you are, whereas you are subject to days and weeks and months and years and the fluctuations of one thing or the other. We're not. but we are only affected by the thought forces or the experiences that we've gathered together, which form to some extent our personality and our character, and we become gradually more and more evolved by the knowledge of experiences, manifold, untold, millions, if you like, of experiences gathered from all manner and kinds of peoples and sources, and we can, as I said before, we can re-enter, if you like, the old self of a certain period, whether it is a certain period in time of earthly existence and memory and past lives, and also we can enter back into certain aspects of the self as we were on a certain plane of evolution on this side.
You sounds see? Terribly complicated.
Well,
dear.
This is it because I can't explain
but,
it.
No,
this
I
is what I feel that we should never achieve.
No.
That is explaining something which is purely spirit and
yes.
spiritual in its context.
Well,
in a material
I've got a great
language.
Deal to think about.
You know, there's so many, but you, no one seems to realize that there are thousands, not just two or three. Or I've heard it said that there are seven spheres, and there's the astral planes, and this is the first sphere and the second sphere. But what people don't realize is that there are thousands of states of being, mm-hmm. according to the gradual evolution of the individual to a certain level of consciousness and awareness and experience. And all these worlds interweave or intermingle. And as you, the gradual evolution or development from one to the other is so subtle that you are barely, in a sense, conscious or aware of the change taking place. And this is what is happening in a different sense or lesser sense, materially, when you're in a material body.
Yes. May I just ask how my little brother is, who passed a few months ago, Sydney? Do you
well, know? Of course, he is in a very happy state of being
is
with
he?
Your own people.
Oh,
and
good.
I see him occasionally.
I send my love every day to
but
him.
But you know, if only I could explain these things to you, if only you could realize how very near we all are to you, that we enter into the remembrances of things past and remembrance of self as you know us, and we are so able to enter into these experiences and these past events. You see, when I come to you, I come back in a sense mentally, if you like, very much on the old level, but also endeavouring at the same time to pass on here and there, when possible, certain experiences, certain remembrances of things which of which you know little or nothing, mm-hmm. appertaining perhaps either to the past when on earth, of centuries ago, and also remembrances of things of my life here. When you come here, it's as real to you as it is when you're living in the material body and you're waking moments.
Yeah.
Your life and my life is so interwoven. People don't realize that there are group souls. You know, this is another thing.
Yes, you spoke of this in your book.
A group soul may consist of hundreds and hundreds of people who have all been woven together at different periods in time and have become part of a group. And they invariably work together and live together and have a method of working, particularly when it comes to endeavouring to help the material world. You see, we see the tragedies of the material world in which you live, and we see these things, the clarity of which you have no realisation. We see that everything that happens to man is what man himself has brought into being. People don't always understand this. Often you hear people in your world rail against God when something goes wrong. Why does God allow this? Why does God permit this? God has given, if I can use the term God, has given man free will. Man creates all the situations in which he finds himself. Man creates wars, he creates hatred, malice, intolerance, he creates illness, sickness, through generations, not necessarily one generation, for one generation may breed or bring or sow the seeds which the next generation will unfortunately have to suffer.
Well, we are hoping there's going to be that scientific breakthrough, dear, from, did you say, Russia?
Well, we believe, from what I've been able to gather from the scientifically minded people, particularly who are working in conjunction with people on your side, where possible, by influencing them mentally and by thought force, hoping that this will come to pass. And it certainly seems that, as far as we're able to gather at the moment in time, that the Russians are much more interested and much more searching out in this direction now, being helped.
I
of course,
see.
They wouldn't accept this as a religious thing. It's got,
oh, no.
To them, it's got nothing to do with religion.
But in my sleep state, I visited this place they have on the roof of the world.
Well,
so realistic.
Yes, well, this is
USSR written on.
Yes, well, you see, you are given, because of your ability over a period of time to release yourself, this is important, people to release themselves temporarily from the mundane and the material, release themselves during their sleep state in particular, they're able to enter into vistas which are far removed from the material, and they do see and they do experience and they do meet up with all manner and kind of people who are endeavouring to be of some help and service to humanity. You are a bridge, in a sense, and this is an important factor, not just the book or any other book that may yet be written between us, but the point is that you as an individual are being used in ways which even you yourself are not fully aware of conscious. I mean, this does happen. You may think to yourself that very little is being done, very little is being achieved, and possibly in a sense that might be correct to say so, but you cannot see as we see. We see you and others like you as vital links in a chain which we are building up over a period of earthly time, so that when it is strengthened, this chain will be of such strength that people will be able in your world to understand a little more, and the strength of it will pull them nearer to the realms of the spirit, and they will be uplifted by it. You mustn't get despondent, you mustn't get distressed within yourself. I know there are times when it's quite understandable you feel very little may be achieved, but a great deal is being done, and you do travel in the astral, you do receive a lot of help and guidance and instruction. We are closer together now than we've ever been, and gradually you will visualize and see and understand more than you ever thought possible. It's all a gradual process.
Yes, well, thank
anyway,
you,
you mustn't get depressed.
Oh, no, I'm not depressed. Only one more thing, darling,
yes.
About Lucy.
Well,
can you tell me now where she is? You said she's not dead.
I am convinced that she is abroad.
Abroad? Oh, you mean in this country, or...
No, I am convinced that she is, I think...
Not in England.
I am convinced that she is not, certainly not over here.
No. That was a wonderful talk in the circle,
but you know, I don't know, I suppose it's human nature to assume that she was murdered, but this is not so. I'm convinced of this. There's no evidence whatsoever to support it.
Oh, so you think
I think that she wanted to drop out. I think she wanted to disappear.
Oh.
And I think she had ideas and ambitions of which possibly she never discussed with anyone.
Oh, anything to do with the RC Church?
No, I don't. I am sure she had little or nothing whatever to do with the church in the sense of going into a retreat or anything like that.
She'd suddenly become very enamoured of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, anyway, darling, it's been a magnificent
when
talk.
I know definitely, when I can pinpoint, when I can give you direct evidence to support, when I can give you detail about
yes.
it, I will.
You write it up. I do see sentences,
yes,
you see, I can read those.
But don't, I'm convinced she's not on this side of life. I'm sure she's not.
No, oh well.
And I still think that they will hear
yes.
about her.
Good.
Anyway, I must go.
Well,
all
many
my love
thanks.
And bless you. Bye-bye, my
You've
dear.
You've given me
and
something to think about
bye-bye.
For a long time.
Bye-bye, dear.
Goodbye, darling.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey.
Keep your chin up.
Wasn't he marvellous?
Yeah, I got an idea that niece has gone abroad.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's interesting, Mickey. That's another point of view. Well, it's lovely to have heard you, Mickey, again.
You did very well.
Yes, it was magnificent.